All right, let's get into the Word. Good to see you guys today. That was awesome worship. That was powerful. Man, we're blessed. So blessed. We're continuing our series called Limitless. Limitless faith, wisdom, grace, and love. Today we're going to be talking about wisdom. And God lavishes these things on us limitlessly. He pours them out. However, there is one limitation to them, and that's this, that he gives them out daily as we need them. We talked about faith. There's only one kind of faith. Last week we talked about it, and it's now faith. You need faith now. Faith 6 weeks from now, faith, that doesn't matter. That doesn't count. We need faith now. And today we're going to be talking about wisdom. Wisdom is an amazing concept. How many of us, and wisdom is doled out a little bit over time. Do you know you only get wise later on in life? Wisdom entails experience. How many heard of the Bob Dylan song made famous by the Birds? How many ever even know who Bob Dylan is? Raise your hand if you know who Bob Dylan is. Okay, well, that's good. How many know who the Birds are? All right. How many watch Lady Gaga? What's that all about? Just messing with you. So I don't know what it's about, though. But anyways, in my generation, Bob Dylan wrote this famous lyric that the Birds actually made famous. And he says this, "And I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now." And what that means is that when I was young, I thought I knew so much. But as I got older, I realized how little I know. You know, I've been in ministry for 28 years now, and I've been happily married going on 35 years. And 36. Going on 30. So, something's wrong with you people's hearing. I have to keep repeating myself. And you know what? I think I got marriage about 70% down. And I think I got pastoring about 60% down. Because I don't know. I was so much older when I started, and I'm so much younger than that now. I knew so much when I was young, and I was so zealous. But I come to find out I didn't know hardly anything. And as I've gotten older, I've gotten wiser. And part of one of the main characteristics of wisdom is to know that you don't know, that there is more to learn. The fool, Scripture tells us, has the idea that they know it all and that they don't need to be taught. But when you're wise, you know that whatever you know on any subject, there's more to be learned and that you'll never master it. And that's a wise position to take because then we are open to learning and experiencing more. But and that's how it is in pretty much any area of life. When I got married and became a husband, I thought I knew what being a husband meant. I didn't know anything about it. When I became a parent, I thought I knew what parenting was all about. Come to find out, I don't know anything about parenting. And that it was a growing experience. And just when I got kind of good at parenting, they all left the house. And but we do get wiser over time if we take knowledge and apply it. A good definition of wisdom is this. Wisdom is the timely and appropriate application of knowledge to a particular situation. Wisdom knows and applies what will work properly, and that this wisdom is gained through the experience of its application. Experience counts. I think people a lot like myself growing up the way I did, and a lot of us are in recovery of different kinds here, is that we did not value, one of our big downfalls is we did not value experience. And there are reasons for that. Oftentimes when you look at authority figures or people in leadership positions or people that have power, and they abuse that, we push them away from us. And in our immature thinking, we think that moving those people away gets rid of all the bad. And it does. But it also gets rid of all the good. And so, therefore, we'd never take in the value of experience. And therefore, we're left to run on ourselves or amongst our peers. You know, your peers are a lot like you. So where you fail in, they'll probably fail in too. Because we tend to gravitate towards those who are like us. One of the beautiful things we have going on in this church is God gives us lots of people with lots of different flavors. And a number of us have lots of different colors. And in that, there are people in here we never would have hung out in our old ways. And then we come to find out that there's great value in having these people in our lives. There's great value in having people who are experienced. One of the reasons I've gotten wiser over time was that I look for today and I seek people who are farther down the road of experience than I am. I want their input. One of the reasons some of us stay stuck is because we reject that input, especially if we don't like it. But this is the truth. Wise input usually will go against our natural instincts. That's why we don't think it's a good thing. The problem with experience and wisdom is this. It takes time to acquire. And there is no shortcut to it. You cannot gain 10 years of experience in 2 years. You just can't do it. One of the reasons God is so wise is he's been around a long time. He's done a lot of stuff. He knows how it's done. Wisdom is really about this, you guys. Making many mistakes on the way to making good decisions. You cannot be wise without making many mistakes. Because why? There are learning experiences. Some of us don't want to move forward in certain areas because we're afraid of making a mistake. Get used to it. I was telling Therese the other day, can you believe we pastor? Not only one church, but I'm over a couple other churches. And I think God's going to do more. And I can't even believe that. If they only knew, I don't know what I'm doing. Because they think I know what I'm doing. I do know a few things. But every day is a new adventure. And I love you guys because, I've heard a lot of stuff, but I, there's always more to hear. And so life is a journey. And in that journey, you can get wise or you can stay foolish. And just know this, wisdom is the application of knowledge in a timely and appropriate way so that the intended result is good. Wisdom has the big picture involved. Well, a lot of times what causes us to stumble is we're involved with the small picture. I don't feel good. I want to do something to change that feeling. I don't like this. I want to do something to change that. And we make all these maneuvers without looking at what am I trying to accomplish. Earlier in the first service, Therese told me she didn't like one verse of the songs. One verse that says, you will never let me down, you will never let me down. And she said, I don't like that verse. And I know why. And I said, listen, that verse is the big picture. God is never, he'll let us down. If you're not disappointed with God, you haven't been trying to walk with him. If you don't like some of the ways he does things, you're just not paying attention. If you don't get God, you're getting God. You will never be able to figure out the stuff of God because his picture is way bigger than your picture and your knowledge. His wisdom, the ability to apply what he knows properly is an amazing accomplishment. And he's doing it. So in the big picture, we will someday say, you didn't let me down. You didn't let me down. Listen, James in chapter 1, verse 5. James was the half-brother of Jesus. Some people think he might have been a cousin. I personally believe he was a half-brother. Jesus was the oldest son of Mary and Joseph, even though Joseph wasn't his dad. You know, the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and she conceived, so he's God, man. And then there were other kids in the family. Well, James and another guy named Jude, and it appears there were a number of other siblings, did not believe in Jesus while he walked the earth. In fact, James, we're told in one of the books, can't recall off the top of my head, I believe it's Acts, could be Corinthians, I don't know. That's your homework, look that up. I should have said that in front, because then you'd have thought I was smart and I knew it. But anyways, James came to know the Lord after the Lord resurrected, and he appeared to him and told him. But James grew up with him. In fact, it tells us in the Gospels in Mark that the brothers came one day and found Jesus, and they said, "Hey, Jesus, if you want to take your dog and pony show and all the miracle things you're doing and all that stuff, if you want to be popular, you need to leave Nazareth area. You need to leave Galilee over here. And you need to move into Jerusalem, because that's where all the stars go. You need to go that place. You need to go." See, they did not believe. Yes. And so this guy, James, was ignorant, was unwilling to be taught until the Lord appeared to him. And one of the amazing things about the Lord is he's kind to us, and we'll look at that in a minute. But he knows how wisely to get to us. So, but let's look first at what James writes after he came to know the Lord. And he struggled because the whole book of James is really about being wise in our walk. And it's his own life, because for most of his life, he wasn't wise in his walk. He missed all the points. It says this: "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." If you want wisdom, knowledge that you can apply to any area of life, James says, ask God. Why? Because he's the wisest. And it will be given to you, and without finding fault. You know, one of the reasons we don't ask people for wisdom is because when we have asked, probably at certain times in our life, they said, "You're stupid, figure it out. You should know that already. There was fault finding in you to have to ask for this knowledge and this wisdom." So you get told that enough, you begin to believe that I should know things that I have no knowledge of knowing, but somehow I should know them. So I don't do that. Some of the guys in here, mainly the guys, grew up thinking that we should be able to figure out everything because we're a guy. So we don't even ask for directions. We should be able, that's just a little snippet of what goes on in our heads, that we should be able to figure out stuff. Somebody along the road told us that, probably many a times. So when we ask, it's looked at from our perspective as a sign of stupidity, a sign of foolishness, a sign of weakness, a sign that we should have figured this out without being told how to do it. James says, listen, if you ask God for wisdom, he'll give it to you and he won't fault find you. He won't put you down for asking. He won't make fun of you. And he says, and it will be given to you. You will get enough wisdom to deal with whatever he wants you to and whatever you ask for. But this is the key. You have to apply it. I've done lots of counseling, and there's many people that are advice seekers. They like to gather opinions. What do you think about my situation? What do you think about it? What do you think about it? I've talked to people, you know, God's word says you need to do this. I tried that. Well, then why are you sitting in front of me? Do it. Do it. Yeah, but it goes against what I think. You mean to tell me I got to forgive? Joe, I've been sitting here for 20 minutes telling you everything that happened to me. I told you what they did to me. Why would I forgive? That's stupid. It's because you got a jar of that inside your soul, and nothing else can go into it. When you move that jar and you forgive and you let God have it, now you can add something else into here. It's a good thing God's asking you to do. How many know, if you're a Christian, know that you're supposed to forgive people? How many know that one of the biggest struggles we have is forgiving people? In fact, I would say that's the number one issue. And then he says this in verse 6. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. When you ask for wisdom, don't doubt doing it. Do it. See, what tends to happen is we default to our own thinking. Oh, that's not the way I would do it. That's not good for me. And then what happens? You lay in bed at night and you're tossing in this wind and seas in your mind. Wisdom is the application of knowledge in a timely and appropriate way to the situation you're dealing with. It is nothing if I don't apply it. It gains no change. How many smokers we got in here? How many in here? Is there anybody in here that doesn't know smoking's not good for you? You got the knowledge. But see, when we begin to realize that when smoking, it keeps my feelings in me. It helps me deal with stress. It helps me deal with that. And some of you are going, yeah, smoking, oof, bad. What about you food eaters? How many, you know what? This is really bad for me. Second portion, please. Yeah. I shouldn't be eating that. A little bigger piece, please. And we can go on and on and on. See, me, I zone out to Netflix. Yeah. This is a stressful day. What series? And I look for series that have like 3 and 4 seasons. That way it just keeps going. And a lot of times it's not even good. I'm 2 seasons into it. I really don't like this show, but there's 2 more seasons. He says, listen, the person that asks for wisdom but refuses to apply it, that person in verse 7 should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Why are you even coming here? Why are you even coming here? There are times in my counseling when I'm speaking to someone and after a couple times I ask them, why are you coming? I gave you homework. How come you're not doing it? What are we doing here? Because if you don't want to... Now, in the early days when I didn't have wisdom, I would keep meeting them. We keep talking about it, over and over. And or I throw some scripture at them and say, pray more about it. That's one thing. Yeah, praying about it's good. But God always, at some point you get up from prayer. That's where the application comes in. He says, listen, someone that just seeks wisdom from the Lord and doesn't apply it isn't really seeking wisdom. So don't ask me stuff just to tell me the same old, same old. This is James speaking of what the Lord says. He says, such a person is double-minded and they're unstable in all they do. You know, a wise person, one of the attributes of a wise person is they're stable. They're not up here on good things, and they're not down here on bad things. They learn to do life on life's terms, and that life is going to happen to them, and that you do not get out of any aspect of life. You might not have to go through every aspect of life, but that doesn't mean you're exempt from any aspect of life. We just have not gone through it yet. I know, that's like, great, I love church. Yay. Listen, I want to help you today in becoming wise. And wisdom is a path. In fact, it's always described as a journey in Scripture. It's never described as an event. Wisdom is progressively attained over time and by experience. That's why one of the reasons we need people in our lives who are more experienced than us, are farther along the road that we desire to travel on. Know this, there is not one road you've traveled on or are traveling on that others haven't traveled on before you. You are not the first person blazing any trail in humanity. Your head may tell you that. It may be the first time you're blazing it, but it is a well-worn path. And that's comforting, because that means people have gone before us, and people have gone before us and handled it well. And there are people that can help me to not have to step in every pothole of life. There's enough you're going to step into. Part of getting wise is making enough mistakes to where you get to start making good decisions. Mistakes are useful if we learn from them. They're troublesome if we keep doing them over and over again and we learn nothing. How many made mistakes and ran right back to do it again? And God does this in our lives. See, in order for wisdom to take place, you have to love somebody. Paul tells us in Romans 2:4, or do you show contempt, speaking to the Romans and the church he was writing to, do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, speaking of God, tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? He says, don't you realize that in the wisdom of God, when he's dealing with someone, he gives them great patience. He exercises great kindness towards them. Why? Because he's allowing them to make mistakes on the way to making good decisions. He says, listen, God loves you before you get better. That's what love is. If you only love somebody when they are better, you don't love them. You love the thought of better. You have to love somebody where they're at. That's part of wisdom. Is to know that it takes time for people to take input and apply it to their lives in multiple areas of life. Usually God is dealing with some area in our life at a time. He is not a God that takes the bag of all your stuff and go, well, let's see what we got here. He pulls out, this is what you need wisdom in, because your knowledge in this isn't working. You may have a lot of information. Information doesn't change anybody. All it does is puff you up. It makes you think you do know without knowing. It's an experience that we really learn. I remember when I first got married, one of the big things I had to deal with is, now we're going to be married on 36 years. Some crazy person out there was saying 35, but I never thought, you mean I'm going to be sleeping with the same person for the rest of my life? Boring. No, it ain't boring. I'm telling you. 36 years into it. See, in the beginning, I had all my thoughts about that. You mean I got to serve her my whole life? You mean I got to, you know, we start leaning on our own understanding of how that should look and what would that be like. And Now, through all these years of experience, it's like marriage is rich at 36 years. Marriage is very fulfilling. Marriage is fun. It's not boring. She's my best friend. I like coming home. Yeah, well, hey, but it wasn't a theory in year one. It had to be walked out. How do you do that? See, wisdom gives us the ability to make adjustments as opposed to foolishness where we are making, you know what, I think I'm 60 miles off track here. And now I got to go back. Wisdom enables you to make mistakes, but they're lesser mistakes. I remember when I first got ordained, the pastor took me into his office and he says, hey, Joe, you know, you do not counsel, you do not hang with women alone. If you counsel a woman, someone needs to be in the office. You don't go to dinner with women, any woman. You don't take them out to lunch. You don't even drive them home, just you and them. And you know what I was thinking? I'm not that weak. I'm strong. That's, you know, now I understand what you're saying, but that's not real strong. Therese goes, that's a great idea. And it's like, well, okay, I think I'll rethink this. I'm open to suggestions. But see, that's what oftentimes we do in our foolishness, is we hear wise counsel and we look at it as, I don't know. Just because you've been doing it for 40 years doesn't mean you got anything to tell me. It's like, no, wise people go. See, we need to have people farther down the road than us. You show me an area in your life where you don't let anybody in, I'll show you a messed up room. That area is messed up. If God desired only Him, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God to change you, and they are all powerful changers, then He'd do it that way. He wouldn't need a church. He wouldn't need a family of believers helping one another. He wouldn't talk about discipleship. We wouldn't read about Paul writing to Timothy, a young pastor being written to in Scripture by this older pastor in two of the books, on how to do church, on what he should look out for, what he should be doing. See, you need a Paul in your life. Who's your Paul? Or if you're a woman, you need a Paulette in your life. And you need a Timothy. You need someone younger. And you need some other people, peers in your life. We don't have that. I'm telling you, you're living out of balance. Something ain't flowing right. It's just the way it is. I wish it wasn't, but I'm giving you some wisdom today. And that's the way Jesus, he says, do you show contempt the way I can work with somebody and allow them, knowing I'm wise enough to know that as I maneuver and show kindness and love towards them and patience, if I use that wisdom, that will stir the ship. Oh, it's messy, and it takes time, and we like things done really quick. Because how many of us like to tell somebody what they need to do, and they get super frustrated when they don't do it? Except with ourselves, because we understand. We understand it's hard. Wisdom, applying wisdom, is hard. But it's so rewarding. In Proverbs 23:23, we're told this by Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. How did he get so wise? Well, when he was a young king, God asked this man, Solomon, he said, Solomon, ask me what you want from me and I'll give you anything you want. And he said, God, give me wisdom to govern the people well. And God said to him, because you asked for that, not only will I give you wisdom, I will make you wiser than any man. The only man wiser than him was Jesus. Because I will give you that, and I will also give you glory, power, and riches. He says, I will add everything to that. Because wisdom, as Solomon would write later, he says, wisdom is supreme. If you're a wise person, your whole life changes. Why? Because you quit being dangerous to yourself and dangerous to others. Proverbs 23:23 says this, buy the truth and do not sell it. That's a purchasing thing. That's a process. You're buying, you're exchanging, you're going to need to buy more. He goes, and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. Get these things. Purchase it. What does purchase mean? It cost. It cost you. It's different than how we think. In Proverbs 28:26, he says this, Those who trust in themselves are fools. Those who think they can figure it all out are fools. But those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. Then he says this, you want to build your house? Do it this way. Speaking of the house of your being and the house you live in and the house of your life. There's a multiple different ways you can look at that. In Proverbs 24, 3 and 4, excuse me. He says this, by wisdom a house is built. It's the only way it's built. Wisdom, applied knowledge correctly. And through understanding, it is established. Wisdom is the building. Understanding is once it's built, you go, oh, now I know how it works. I have this, you know, just when I thought this flu thing was over, it came back. Have you guys had that? You know, I've had it like 5 weeks, and then I had a week and a half off, and then it all came back. So I'm spitting up a bunch. It's kind of awesome to share with you. I'm splitting up a bunch of phlegm and stuff, and I went on Google because I don't know what all that's about. Started looking, and I started getting all this information. And it was great because now I know the difference between white, gray, brown, red. There's a bunch of buddies that hang out. They're different colors. And it actually gave me comfort because it told me that it's healthy. It's a good sign that your body's fighting it and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, and then it gave like four things you can do. And it's like, nah, I didn't even do those. Limit coffee intake. And name something else. Take honey before you go to bed. I can do that. Oh, literal honey. Some of you are on it, some of you aren't. It says, by wisdom a house is built, through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Let's reverse that. You don't build the house, you don't do what's wise, you don't get it established, but you have these beautiful treasures. You have these wonderful gifts. Corinthians and Romans tell us that God gives us gifts. And those gifts are without repentance. He does, as Chris shared today, he doesn't take them back. But what happens if you are not a house that can handle this inside, you are almost like a house that has a yard sale all the time. Ooh, nice stuff. It looks like it's good. But you do not have the capability to take care of it. And that's why you lose it. And I've been in ministry and in life long enough to see people with amazing gifts toss them away because their house and the house is not taken care of. He says, take care of the house, and then the people that enter into it, enter into your life, enter into your sphere, will see the beautiful treasures you have. And you'll be a blessing that will last because the house is established. The gifts are protected. It's a brilliant thing, he writes. Wisdom gives you that. And being in recovery, I've seen many people who have gained. They start out by first gaining sobriety, and they're living in sober livings, and they're going through rehabs, and oftentimes they've trashed everything in their lives. And then God begins to add to them a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time, they start to get a job, oftentimes a get-well job, they call it, where you're just doing anything to get yourself back in the game. Then God begins to add. But see, then he begins to give you some treasures, and he brings a person into your life. And you know what happens? We start treating them the same way we did in our old ways. Because anything God gives you to establish your house as you move forward, the way you handle it has to change. How many of us in here said, you know what? I'll never be like my parents. And voila, you're like them. Because until we learn something different, nothing changes different. You know, if you're a husband, your job is to love your wife. That means to lay down your life for him, for her. That's not easy to do. That's not even easy to say. That's a big deal. That's a whole mindset change. But the value of it is seen in doing it. And when you start to apply that, okay, I'm going to just love her where she's at. I'm going to lay down my life for her. I'm not even sure what that means, but today, all I can do is today, God, give me wisdom today to do that. So when I feel like it's my job to correct her or whatever, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to love her right where she's at. And then you start doing that. Over time, you see changes. You start seeing the good things. She starts responding in a different way. The dynamic changes. Then after a while, when that becomes established, you go, wow, that's a treasure I have in this house now. I literally have a treasure. I learned something valuable. Because what's a treasure? A treasure is only something valuable. I collect watches. I used to collect them. But, I read more about them and looked at them more than I ever collected them, because if you don't know, watches can be super expensive. You can buy a watch for $100,000. I don't know if you could buy it. I can't buy it, but apparently there's some people that buy those. But see, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know the value of that watch from a Timex watch unless you had studied enough to know what watches are watches, which ones are which and which ones are valuable. And so you can see things that have great value and yet not have an understanding of their value. To you, they're just nothing. If you think your spouse, your boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever it is a Timex rather than of something of great value, you will treat them like a Timex. Takes a beating and keeps on ticking. That was the ad of Timex, Was it Timex? Takes a licking, keeps on ticking. Takes a licking, keeps on ticking. They used to advertise. How many saw those advertisements? Anybody over 94 in here? When you don't value something, see, and you only value what you apply and pour into. Here's what wisdom will accomplish for you. Wisdom brings us into harmony with ourselves. I know there are people sitting in here today that aren't comfortable in their own skin. Because you haven't valued yourself enough to do that which blesses you. I tell people all the time, you got to do self-care. Yeah, but I know how to do that. Then learn. Then here, let me introduce you to this or that or the other thing. So you start taking care of yourself. Because if you don't value yourself, don't think you're going to be valued. I value my marriage. So I don't do things to mess it up. I value my body. I go to the gym. I try to eat semi-right, except for a 4-bite at In-N-Out. But yeah, I've been doing good, so I reward myself with heck. Then I'll tell Therese to get me something. She goes, no, I don't want to do this. You're not going to like it and stuff. Then please. And then right after I eat, I go, why'd you get that? You guys ever done anything like that? Yeah. Anyway, listen, it brings us into harmony with ourselves. When you're wise, you get a sense of self-worth and inner peace. You know how you get inner peace? You act in accordance with your conscience. See, when you are acting contrary to your conscience, you are not in peace. You are fighting yourself. When you act in contrary to what you know is right, you struggle with yourself. And you lose inner peace. You become anxietied out. And when our conscience is lined up with the will of God, and you doing it, and you are doing it God's way, let me tell you, you will have inner peace. You will be okay. And you know what you will avoid? Shame. And the guilt of following our baser instincts. But that's hard to do. That's wisdom there. I just told you, you want inner peace? Do it God's way. But I'm not saying it's easy. But see, this is all you have to do. You just need the wisdom to apply it today. God will give you all the wisdom you need to deal with whatever you're dealing with today. Your job then is to apply it today. And as you do that, you are building a treasure. In fact, Solomon tells us this in Proverbs 3:13. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. You only gain understanding as you apply wisdom. So it's as you've seen a couple times already, wisdom and understanding are usually used in the same sentence because wisdom gives us an understanding that knowledge never can. And so he says, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. That's how good it is. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her, with wisdom. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honors. Both hands are full of treasure. It says you want double treasure? You want a life of treasure? Apply wisdom to your life. Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths are peace. Again, the idea of the journey. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast, tight, will be blessed. By wisdom, then he uses, this is exactly what the Lord does. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. He did it precisely. He did it mathematically. He orchestrated it well. Not only in his head, but in his voice and applying it. He says, by understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the watery depths were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. He says, always keeping it. What's the wise thing to do here? What's the wise thing to do here? And God gives us a number of ways to be wise. Your conscience. The input of others who are farther down the road than you in the area you're looking for wisdom in. His word, his Holy Spirit. He even can guide us by circumstances. What looks better? What can achieve more? Let people in. It's only our not healthy thinking that tells us to keep people away. It's not the way God designed it. He says, listen, they will be, speaking of wisdom and understanding, they will be life for you. An ornament of grace, another piece of jewelry. It will decorate your life. Then you will go on your way in safety and your foot will not stumble. You will head in the right direction. And there will be safety in it because you know that you've done the right thing. See, one of the best things I've learned is that if I live out front, I never have to hide nothing. I never have to be deceptive. I never have to, you know, if I don't do sketchy things, I don't have to be sketchy. If I don't do shadowy things, I don't have to be shadowy. If I don't do snaky things, I don't have to slither around. And there's a great freedom in that. If you come to my house, I'm the same guy. Not because all of a sudden I got great knowledge about that. It's because I've learned to live in such a manner that it's way easier not having to live three lives. Because we got our private life. Only you know your private life. You got your public life. Then you got the life you want people to think and see about you. If they all are in harmony, if I'm not trashing myself, big chance I'm not going to trash you. If I don't value myself, big chance you're not going to be super valuable. Listen, we all fail in acting in wisdom. It's not natural to us. Our natural is to default. Wisdom comes to most of us the same way the Chinese bamboo grows. Anybody ever heard of Chinese bamboo? For 4 years, you plant a bamboo seed, and you water it, and you fertilize it. But outwardly, nothing appears. It does not grow above ground. Then in the fifth year, in just 6 weeks, it can grow to 80 feet. Because those first 4 years, it is establishing its root system. It is establishing itself for the growth, for the jewel of what it is in becoming a bamboo shoot. You and I are very much the same. You may not be seeing any outward actions if you're walking in wisdom right now and you're doing what you know. You may not be seeing nothing change, but a whole lot is getting prepared. God is a good God. Just like Chris said he wouldn't give his daughter at 14 years old a Harley Davidson. God is not going to give you massive jewels, his gifts, if you can't handle a ring. If you keep losing the ring God wants to give you, he's not going to trust us, not because he doesn't love us, but he's going to work in our lives to say, be wise right now. That's why Jesus said, if you're wise with the little bit, if you're faithful in the little I give you. Faithful means wise. It means doing that which is faithful to what I'm giving you and taking care of it. I'll add more to you. If not, I can't. In fact, if you mess up too much, I'll take it away and give it to someone else. And it has nothing to do with my love for you. It has to do with your inability to get wise. Don't think, like James says, you can ask anything else of me. Don't neglect what I'm trying to teach you now and want you to apply. Don't say, neglect that, and then ask me for a great job, a lot of money over here, a fine woman or man. You know, this or that. He goes, no, don't ask me for anything. Because all those things are dependent and are gifts to the house. If the house can't hold them, I can't give them. So don't look at what you're going through or the situations you're in now as something God's punishing you with. He's not punishing you. He's developing you. I've been married 3 times. I think the next one's a charm. Well, what's changed in you? How are you different? What have you learned from those things? I married idiots. What's that make you? Okay, so right off the bat, we know you don't have a good picker. Now, what's your issues? Or we can look at it this way. Why have 3 dudes or ladies dumped you? Why have they ran away from you? Because of your awesomeness? Because you're a treat to live with? What is it in you that drove these 3 people to run? Well, I don't think that's really good, you know. You're offending me. Okay. Be offended. Let's get back to the question. Because that's the deal. What is God trying to show you in this? Well, she. Let's go to you. Oh, boy, I'm on a roll today. Please come back next week. I'll be talking about something fun and easy. Listen, we have a saying here, learn a little, use it a lot. Whatever God is trying to teach you, use it a lot. And then God will learn you some more. It is far better in the kingdom of God to know a little bit and apply it a whole lot than to know a lot and to apply it a little. You need wisdom. I need wisdom. In fact, it was the gift I've asked God for when I was young. When I heard that story of Solomon as a very young Christian, I said, that's what I want. I want to be wise. I want to understand why people do what they do. I want wisdom, God. I've asked him for every gift too. I don't understand people that don't know. I speak in tongues. Do you speak in tongues? No, I don't want that gift. It's like, I never turn down a gift. If God wants to give me every, I ask gift for the God, give me the gift of healing. And God has done it a couple times. I mean, no. I want to do crusades and so I can get on TV and do the healing thing. I begin to think, well, wait a minute. If they really had the gift of healing and they could call it up whenever they wanted, well, there's hospitals everywhere. People ought to get to them. But I know that God does what he wants to do. So I'm telling you guys, the best thing you can ask for, and I'll get to that. Let's read Proverbs 4:7 and we'll close here. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. That's interesting that he says get it, because it's one of the few things in Scripture that God says he gives to anybody as much as they need. But they got to apply it, or he says, no point. Don't ask me for anything else. Don't ask me for anything else. He says, though it cost all you have, get understanding. It's going to cost you. Esteem her. Esteem wisdom. Hold it up here. That's a big picture. He says, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. Wisdom. God knows everybody in here has baggage, but only some of us are willing to admit it, and only some of us are willing to do something about it. Wisdom is to admit and get help and apply it. How many want to get wise in the kingdom of God? Why don't we stand up? We're going to close here. Listen, if you've got a room in your life, in your soul, that you don't let anybody in, I'm telling you right now, from many years in the game, until you do, you will remain broken in that area. I'm giving you wisdom here. Get help. Get help. And there's help available. And then apply. See, if I tell you this and you don't go out and do something about it, it's just information. But God never called us to be information gatherers. He called us to be doers of the word. And the word here tells us today, get wisdom. Make it supreme in your life. I'm troubled in an area I don't know what to do. Get help. I don't know God's word. Read. And if you don't want to deal with something, just be honest and go, I don't want to deal with it, and I'll suffer the consequences. Suffer them. God is patient with you. He'll let you do that, but his goal is to turn you towards repentance, which repentance means to turn a different direction. Think differently about it. So, as you guys stand here, think of an area. Is there an area I'm not wise in? I keep doing the same old, and I keep getting the same old results. I'm not wise in this area. And some of us in here are not wise in an area because we've been hurt. So we've been rebellious, thinking we're doing them harm when actually we're trashing ourselves. Hey, there's nobody in here that hasn't been hurt. Is there anybody in here that hasn't been hurt by somebody? Yeah. How many have been hurt by me? There you go. You know, I'll tell you what's the hard part about pastoring. Then we'll close in prayer. You know what's the hard part about pastoring? Is when people sometimes turn against you. I know it's weird, but they do. And you got so much dirt on them. You could trash them. But wisdom has taught me you don't do that. You don't do that. You give it to God. And if there is something you did wrong or I did wrong, then I need to make that right. But if there, you know, if it's the other way, it's like, wow. Okay, well, we keep on keeping on. And God knows he'll deal with it. But see, what would make me go after them is I lose sight of the big picture. Big picture is I'm supposed to be a man of honor. I'm supposed to be a man who can keep a confidence. I'm supposed to be a man who honors the position more than my feelings. I'm supposed to be a man who walks what he talks. So in order to do that, I got to do that. And I got to do it when it's not fun. When it's not just. When it's not right. See, there's nothing in Scripture that says, be a man of justice until you want revenge. Until they deserve it. No, I need to be faithful in what I'm called to. You need to be faithful in what you're called to all the time. Why? Because that's integrity. That's wisdom. You're married? Be a good husband all the time. Your wife? Be a good wife all the time. You're single? Be a good single person. Tell you what, if you're single, marriage ain't going to, and you got issues, marriage ain't fixing them. Marriage is exposing them. I could keep going on and on, but you guys probably get tired after a while. I feel like I gave psychology 101, Bible study 101. It was like a whole mixture. But see, that God doesn't remove himself from the human condition. God puts himself in the midst of the human condition. You need wisdom right where you're at? Okay, let's just go back to that. There's an area right now you need wisdom. You're struggling in it. You're not sure what to do, but you're willing to do what you need to do in that area. Raise your hand. Okay. So God, give these people, say, well, you pray with me. Lord Jesus, give me wisdom in this area, and I promise with your help to do it your way. Whether it's to seek an older person, whether it is to treat myself right and stop something, whether it's to treat myself right and do something, whether it's I need to get right with somebody, or whatever else I got going on, I want to do it your way. So I need your strength to apply this wisdom that you will give me. And I thank you for it. And I won't ask for anything else till I get this handled. In Jesus' name. All right, God bless you guys. Have a great day.